Well, good morning, KRFY listeners. Thanks for joining us for the morning show today, June 24th. It's Wednesday, and I'm Susie Prez here in the studio with a bunch of really fun people. We're going to have a great show for you today, and I'm here with Chris Bessler, our co-host. We're co-hosts together.
Good morning, Susie. So let's get today's show. Again, we have with us Jeremy Grimm. He's our mayor, and Jason Welker. He's our city planning and development director. And again, thanks for being here, Jeremy and Jason. And there's so much to talk about, but let's kick off on the thing that's probably going to be most visible for anybody visiting town, and that is the start of the new parking management policy, or what do you call it? It's more than a plan now.
Yeah, no, it's the plan has been implemented. So we start July 1st. You'll notice if you're downtown in the next couple of days, you'll see some very sleek looking kiosks going up. These are solar powered interfaces where you can enter your information and get registered for the parking spot that you're using. And this all will apply over downtown and the City Beach parking lot, downtown parking lot, as well as some of our other parking lots, such as the Bay Trail and the Lakeside parking lot. It's really, originated because we were facing a pretty big challenge. And if you've heard me before, this is a challenge that not everyone understands, but we are in a situation at the city where each year we have fewer and fewer dollars to apply to maintaining our basic infrastructure. So this all originated from about a year and a half ago. Jason and I were sort of discussing what are our options. Basically, we are going to begin charging visitors and locals for the cost to park at City Beach and city parking lots. And we've structured it in a way to make sure that the locals are paying, city residents are paying as least as possible. County residents pay a little bit more, and then those visitors will be paying, an hourly market rate for that parking. So it's really a solution so that we have a dedicated funding source so that we can maintain our parking lots and facilities that everyone enjoys. And what folks don't always understand is that it's the Sandpoint taxpayers who end up funding all these infrastructure elements and amenities. And, we've done some surveys down there at City Beach, and at times we see that 75% of the vehicles are not Sandpoint residents. They're from folks from away, a lot of folks from Kootenai County and Spokane. So this is a way for everyone who enjoys the amenities we have to help maintain them, and certainly to give us a revenue stream so we can fix some of the potholes and redo them and make them as quality as they should be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And actually, if people are walking around downtown today, I saw it there myself. There's some signs up that say we've always had these 2-hour parking signs, but there's a second sign there now that says 2 hours free zone, check-in at kiosk is required. So that's kind of, and the, I guess the key thing here, this is active from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Correct.
It is free to park downtown. Mm-hmm. People, they're not understanding that. A lot of them don't seem to be. You can still get 2 hours of free parking, but you do have to check in at these kiosks, even though the first 2 hours are free.
Yeah, right? I'll let Jason talk. Jason's got all the details on
that. Yeah, so a little bit. A little bit more background. Going back to 2022, the city actually hired a firm to come in and do a study of our downtown and waterfront parking facilities. And the real impetus for this parking plan, Mayor talked about the budgetary, challenges that we face year after year at the city. But the real problem that this plan is trying to solve is the overutilization of certain blocks downtown and the underutilization of under blocks downtown for parking. So just to keep it simple, that parking study revealed two things about our First and Second Avenue parking. Average occupancy during a week in the middle of July was 97%. That means there were on average around 6 parking spaces available across the entire First, Second, and Cedar, Main, Oak, and Church corridors. 6 parking spaces out of the 250 or so that we have there. What does that mean for the average citizen come downtown to try to run an errand or to run into a store to go grab a burrito or a baked good at Bluebird, you're probably not going to find parking within two or three blocks of where you need to be. The second number that study revealed is 5.5 hours. That was the average duration of stay for vehicles in the two-hour zone. So just think about that for a minute. The average car was staying for more than twice as long as the zone allowed them to stay. You could say, well, we just need more police enforcing. Just go around, write more tickets. Well, guess what? That's paid parking. The more tickets you write, the more we collect. It's $50 every time you get a ticket. So when we did outreach last year, we did outreach over about 6 months from January to June in the development of this parking plan. We met over and over again with downtown business owners. I attended the Downtown Sandpoint Business Association meetings. We called special meetings and invited property owners and business owners to the Sandpoint Financial Center, where we had meetings with all these different stakeholders. And the feedback we got over and over and over again was, we want to see better enforcement of the two-hour time limits. Okay? So that's what led to this solution that we came up with, which was, let's create a little bit of friction in those two-hour zones. So it's not as easy as it is today to just stay all day. There's a small chance you'll get a ticket, but going forward, starting July 1st, the little bit of friction we've created is that check-in process. And if you step outside the studio here, you'll see a kiosk was installed yesterday. There's going to be about one or two per block between Pine Street and Cedar Street. And then from 1st to 2nd, with only one block on 3rd, that block in front of the Fat Pig. That's one area where we're going to have two kiosks on 3rd Avenue. But for the most part, we're talking about 1st and 2nd Avenue, where that's the only street parking that you're going to notice any change to the management of downtown. And that change will be when you park at your parking space, we're going to ask you to go touch the screen on this little touchscreen device, enter your license plate number, and click begin two-hour free session. And this, and the, what this does is this enables much, much easier enforcement by police officers. We have been doing what's called digital chalking, which is where the police officers come around, take a photo of your tire. They notice where the stem valve is, the inflation valve. And they come back 2 hours later. And if that inflation valve is moved, it's evidence that you've moved your car and you're not allowed to move your car. You have to, you know, you have, or if it's in the same place, I should say, it's evidence that you haven't moved your car. So that's how we would issue tickets. Very tedious, very time consuming, very labor intensive, expensive for the city to enforce, and not very fair, because really only a small percentage of the people are ever having to pay for overstay of those 2 hour time limits. Now, the other change in the 2 hour zone is that you can avoid getting tickets for staying over 2 hours going forward by selecting 3 or 4 hours when you check in at the kiosk, or 5 hours or 6 hours. So you can actually select all day parking in the 2 hour zone now when you go to check in at a kiosk.
You just pay.
You will pay for hours beyond the two. So everybody gets a free 2 hour. We call it courtesy time. We're giving everybody free 2 hours of courtesy time downtown, which is what you have today. But going forward, instead of, you know, breaking the law and potentially getting a ticket if you stay a third or fourth hour, you can just go back to your kiosk, or you can open the mobile app on your phone, or you can text a number that these numbers and the apps will all be displayed on the sides of the kiosks, and you can extend your stay for a third, fourth, or fifth hour.
So when you go downtown and you park, you will be required to go to the kiosk and kind of check in. My first 2 hours are free, and then you can, you know, if you don't, if you're going to stay longer, you can kind of start paying. But what if you don't check in? What if people don't know to go to the kiosk?
So if you're unlucky, just like today, if you're unlucky and a police officer were to come by during your parking session that you haven't checked in for, they're going to look at your license plate number. They have a little handheld device. They're going to enter your license plate number. And if it shows that there has been no parking session initiated for that car, you're assumed to have been in violation. So it's a requirement that you check in. Or you're violating. Just like today, if you stay over 2 hours, you're automatically in violation. Does it mean you're going to get a ticket every single time? No. We don't have enforcement officers down here 24 hours a day. We will not have them here before 9 a.m. or after 5 p.m. So if you show up at 3 p.m., for example, you can park until midnight. You can go to a show at the Panda, then go out to the 219 and not have to pay anything if you got here at 3 p.m. And you can stay all night, basically.
But is there going to be a grace period while people are getting, you know, like a warning ticket? Hey, you forgot to check in at the kiosk.
Yeah, so just like when the police are enforcing speed, there's discretion. You know, sometimes you're 5 over and you get a flashing light. Sometimes you're 7 over and you get pulled over and you're like, okay. So yeah, we have discretion. We're working with our police officers and our resource officers to make sure that, you know, we understand people, it's going to be new for people. So we're going to have a lot of visibility, especially at the city beach and other areas, helping people, you know, click into the kiosk and understand how to use the app. So yeah, it's not going to be a full blown grace period, but we're going to have some discretion on when people are being ticketed. And the goal, though, of course, is pretty short order within 2 weeks that we're going to be fully enforcing and implementing this. So the only thing I'd add there is the other neat thing I think on this is, previously, if you were to come down and, you know, say I'm going to park down on First Ave, I'm going to run up to KRFY's office, I'm talking, we get into great discussion. It goes over 2 hours, or maybe we want to go get something to eat, Chris. You can then just write on your phone, your app, say, oh, I'm going to stay longer than 2 hours. And you can add the time from your phone. So it really gives users a lot of flexibility. But the one thing I've heard over and over again, a lot of anxiety from folks out there, and I put those into two buckets. One is the employees. So the employees who work downtown, we understand that, you know, cost is a real deal, and it's hard enough to make a living in this town right now. We have hundreds of totally free parking spaces downtown. You just have to know where they are. So I'll point a couple out. The ITD lot west of Fifth Ave in front of Matchwood and Foster's Crossing, that is a free lot. You can park there all day long. So take advantage of that. There's, I forget the total number. There's a lot of spots there. And then on the periphery outside of the core, there are a number. I think Jason said there's a 315.
So between, if you go from Poplar at the north end, it's kind of the extent of downtown Poplar, down to Lake Street, there's about 360 free parking spaces on the street and at that ITD lot, which has 115 parking spaces. So again, here's the takeaway, right? Who were the people parking for 5 hours in the 2 hour street zones? It was largely employees of downtown businesses. So we understand that the lax enforcement of 2 hour street parking in the past has benefited those downtown employees, but it has come at the expense of the downtown business owners. And it was the business owners that we met with that said, we have been asking our employees not to park in these spots. They're not always listening to us. We want these spots available for our customers. So that's where we came up with this $20 or $35 annual parking permit that gives all day free parking in the city parking lot. The goal is to get downtown employees back into the city parking lot. If they can't afford the $20 or $35 parking permit for a whole year, then there's 350 free parking spaces a little bit further than the city parking lot. So those are going to start at Alder, north of the hospital, Poplar. And then when you go west of Fifth Avenue, most of the street parking out there is, when I say free, I mean no time limit as well. We're talking all day free parking, no signs on the street telling you that you can only park for 3 or 4 hours.
So let's talk about the city parking lot, mm-hmm. and the city beach parking lot, the city maintained parking lots. Mm-hmm. A resident can buy a permit for $20 a year.
So as of yesterday, we've sold around 800 of these permits in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So they're very popular. Mm-hmm. I would say 90% of people are having no issue with the purchase process. They do it on their phone. They do it on their laptop at home. About 10% are struggling. So they end up calling. They have a hard time uploading a document. They don't know what kind of they're having a hard time interpreting the website. So we have 4 trained frontline staff people at City Hall right now who have been helping customers. I'd say 50 to 75% of their time over the last 2 weeks has been helping customers at a kiosk at the at a computer terminal at the City Hall lobby. So, yeah, we sold around 800 of those parking permits. Those provide all day free parking year round at City Beach, at the city parking lot, at the Pondere Bay Trail lot, at the Dock Street lot, at the Bridge Street lot. There's about 6 parking lots where you can enjoy unlimited parking. So if you have one of these $20 annual permits or $35 annual permits for Bonner County residents, you will experience no difference other than the fact all the tourists and non-residents who are visiting these parking lots will pay the $3 hourly rate. And the intent is that there will ultimately be fewer visitors and non-residents using these parking lots, because as anybody who tries to park at City Beach in the middle of summer knows, there's no possibility of parking at City Beach. Our 2022 study found average occupancy of 100% in the middle of July at City Beach, meaning if you were a Sandpoint resident who popped down there with your kids in a picnic blanket, you had a nearly 0% chance of finding a parking space in the middle of a weekend day.
Yeah, that's important to emphasize. And a couple of things. First of all, if you're a Bonner County resident, that's $2.90 a month for all the parking you want.
So the county resident is
$35. $35,
$35, yeah.
And if you're a city resident, it's $20, which is about $1.66 or something per month. So $1.66 per month to park city parking lot or city beach. But the story I want to tell is when I moved here in 2007, I used to be able to go downtown to the beach, find parking any time of the year, more or less, see a bunch of my friends and neighbors and city residents. What I've noticed in the last few years is when I go down to City Beach, first of all, I don't go down as much anymore because, as Jason mentioned, the spots are all filled. And secondarily, most of the people down there, I have no idea who they are because most of the plates are from out of state or out of county. So there's a very real aspect that, you know, the city of Sandpoint residents have paid for that beach. This is an amenity that Sandpoint taxpayers primarily pay for to benefit the Sandpoint residents. And when I ran for mayor, I said residents first. And I'm really passionate about making sure that our amenities and our parks benefit our taxpayers. So this is something that, you know, we're either going to generate a bunch of revenue from these out-of-state, out-of-town visitors to help pay for these amenities, or I've seen some threats on Facebook and elsewhere saying they're going to stop coming to City Beach. Well, sorry to be frank, but, you know, a few less visitors at City Beach and more residents there is just fine with me.
Well, okay, I was going to ask you that because social media, which I don't like to venture to very much because it's a kind of a cesspool, but I have to for my job. It's been kind of blown up from people that are complaining about this. And as far as I can tell, most of them are probably not city residents.
I've gotten a number of emails at City Hall as mayor, and I do one thing. When somebody emails me, I look up their property address. You can find that on the public records. 99% of the people complaining to me do not live in the city of Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. And whether they understand it or not, they are not contributing to the taxes that upkeep these facilities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those folks need to understand there's no free lunch in the world. And under the current fiscal situation of the country and the city, we need to make sure that folks are contributing a fair share. And I go back to what is the cost? These folks who are complaining, $2.90 a month for a all-you-can-park pass for City Beach. I think that's very modest. And I recognize household budgets are tight. But to contribute to the upkeep and to make sure that these facilities can be maintained, we all got to play our role.
And that amount, as you said previously, is really just covering the cost of administering the program. So really, the folks, either city residents or out of town residents, are just covering the cost of having a program that can actually get some money from the tourists when they're here.
So if I could speak about that really quick, so. If I would encourage listeners to think of it this way, your $20 permit, that's not money that the city's taking from locals. We are not keeping that money. That is going towards the administration of this program. I've had so many people say, well, why don't you just give 7B plates free parking? My household has three vehicles. Only one of them has a 7B plate. That just doesn't work for most people. We have city residents who have plates from other counties. We have city residents with custom license plates. We have city residents with you know, these specialty plates that don't start with 7B. I'd venture to guess half of the residents of Bonner County do not have 7B plates. They have some other plate. Two of my three vehicles don't have 7B plates. So that doesn't work, first of all. So we just needed a system that would allow us to tie license plates to residency. And that's what our permit program does. So the $20 permit covers the cost of the permit, which is around $19.60. So
if you want to
look at it this way, there will ultimately be a sticker mailed, but the sticker is not your permit. Your license plate is your permit. This is how we get license plates for all city and county residents into the system so that when an officer comes to their vehicle in the parking lot and enters that license plate number, it's tied to residency. It's tied to a permit. Okay, that's the whole program we're talking about. It's a $20 fee to register your vehicle, then you get free parking. The free parking is for anybody who goes through the 5 to 10 minute process of getting their permit. and then everybody else pays. So if somebody doesn't ever come to City Beach, or a Bonner County resident who lives in, I don't know, Clark Fork, and just, all, you know, never comes into Sandpoint, there's no need for them to get a permit. There are over 1,000 free parking spaces in downtown Sandpoint. And anybody who has anxiety over a $20 or $35 fee to register your vehicle in our permit program can avoid that by not getting a permit and taking advantage of the 1,000 free parking spaces in downtown Sandpoint.
Yeah, and it's to that point, you can't park a few blocks away and walk to City Beach or ride your bike. That's typically how I get there. I never have any problems at City Beach because I ride it, you know, 4 blocks to
just not across the Long Bridge this month.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, that's true. We might swing back on the Long Bridge.
So one thing I'd like to bring up, and I've heard this from a lot of people, I'm not going to come to Sandpoint to do my shopping anymore. I'm just going to go to Ponderay because there's free parking. Something to observe is that all that free parking in Ponderay is private parking. It's not public parking. And I challenge anybody who thinks that you're going to walk less by going and parking in the middle of the Walmart parking lot and walking back to the sporting goods section than you would if you parked on 4th Avenue and walked down to Outdoor Experience. It's the same distance. So if you park out at the all-day free parking in Sandpoint and walk 4 blocks into our shopping district on 1st Avenue, you're walking the same distance as if you walk from the middle of the Walmart parking lot to the sporting goods section. So that free parking you're getting out in Ponderay doesn't mean you're walking any less. So we really want to encourage people to continue coming into Sandpoint. 75% of our parking remains free and no permit is required. Those permits are really for the people who need the convenience of all-day parking at the city parking lot or who want to come to City Beach and avoid a $3 hourly parking fee. In other words, locals. We really want locals to get those $20 permits so they can continue to enjoy their parking facilities with hopefully fewer tourists taking up those very valuable parking spaces.
Mm-hmm. Well, go, Susie.
Well, I just wanted to say, I heard you say earlier that you have 4 dedicated helpers. And so thank you for those
Absolutely.
Of us who are tired of more apps on our phones.
Sure.
It's not that hard. It sounds a little complicated, the whole picture, but I'm sure you have all this put out on your website.
We do.
And that you have these dedicated people. So where would someone go down to City Hall if they needed help?
Yeah, so 1123 Lake Street, right in the middle of Sandpoint. We've got Mandy, Sam, Michelle, and Amy. They're our frontline staff, and they've all been trained on assisting people with getting their permits. Generally, what it will be is you'll bring in your vehicle registration and a proof of residency. That can be a rental statement, a utility bill, anything like that just has your name on it and your city or county address. And our frontline staff will help you. They'll look at your documents. They'll help you complete your permit application on the computer screen. They'll click submit, and then they'll process your payment if you'd like to do that as well. You can pay with cash or check. We prefer people pay with credit card through the portal itself, but if people don't have a credit card or they prefer not to use a credit card, we do take cash or check. And I'd say we've probably helped around 75 or 80 people over the last 2.5 weeks doing this manually.
In
person.
Hall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And if I can just close on one thing, one point on this, you know, for everyone who's lived in Bonner County for 20 or so years, the county has grown significantly from high 30,000s to I think we're pushing 50,000 now. And I just want to emphasize that the majority of amenities for these residents, our county, are located in Sandpoint, whether it's ball fields or beaches or boat launches. Now, Ponderay has some great new amenities. There are a few boat launches that the county maintains, but I think our county is it's about time our county starts to understand that there's a lot of county-only residents, and our county needs to start looking forward and looking for opportunities to meet the amenity and recreational needs of our county resident. This should not all fall on the taxpayers of Sandpoint to provide all the amenities for all of Bonner County, and whether that's ball fields or boat launches or beaches. So hopefully this spurs a good discussion where the county can start saying, hey, how do we provide for the recreational and amenity needs of county residents?
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Hey.
At least you can get the idea out there that the county could do more with for parks.
I will say I spent Father's Day at Garfield Bay. Lovely place. Mm-hmm. Free parking. Had a great time. I will say there's no garbage cans there, though. not quite as amenitized as Sandpoint City Beach. Mm-hmm. There's no beach volleyball courts. There's no pickleball courts. There's no tennis courts. There's not a snack shack.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a sandy beach. It's It's a great place. I did have a fantastic Father's Day picnic there, but it's not Sandpoint City Beach. We invest over $1 million a year into maintaining Sandpoint City Beach and other city parks. And that's to support recreation for 55,000 Bonner County residents, who 45,000 of whom don't pay taxes in the city of Sandpoint.
And Garfield Bay, is that the only city county park? I'm not sure.
I believe they have one out in Priest River that they're dedicating to the city of Priest River. And then they have some boat launches out in Hope and others. But we have two boat launches here in town. And just for listeners, if you do have a boat and you've been typically launching your boat in the city of Sandpoint, there is a boat launch trailer fee now and a boat launch fee as well. And we've heard from the state, who actually gave us the grant money to build these boat launches, hey, why aren't you charging a boat launch fee? We want you to have money to be able to maintain these facilities in the future. So they even said future grants that we apply for will rank higher if we actually charge a boat launch fee, because they see that we have the revenue to maintain these facilities. So, I'm super optimistic. You know, like any new program, this is going to have some fits and starts and there's going to be a little transition, but I would venture that by August, everyone's going to understand it and we'll be on our way to having a dedicated revenue stream so we can maintain our facilities.
And if you're just tuning in, this is the morning show on 88.5 KRFY, and we're talking with Mayor Jeremy Grimm and City Planning Director Jason Walker. And I want to switch now to another similar sort of topic, but the whole goal of the parking management policy we're undergoing right now is to raise funds for infrastructure. And you have a big plan underway right now to change up the parking scheme at City Beach. And you're looking for feedback from people on this.
Yeah, thanks. So this stems from a grant that I wrote in the winter of 2024, submitted in January of 2025 to the State of Idaho Department of Parks and Recreation Recreational Vehicle Fund. What is the RV fund? This is several million dollars that the state collects from RV registrations every year, the little tags that all recreational vehicles have to have on them. And that goes into a dedicated fund for improvements to public RV parks, which the city has owned one since 2020 when we acquired our City Beach RV park in a land swap with the Edgewater Hotel at the time. Anybody who's been to City Beach may not even know there's an RV park there. It kind of looks like a filthy, dirty gravel lot right now, which is pretty much what it is. We inherited that. There was a plan back in 2019 adopted by the city that envisioned building two new boat launches in the location of the RV park. A little research into that plan revealed that was going to be about a $15 to $20 million effort. We'd have to dredge Sand Creek to create a second boat channel so that boats can get to that new boat launch. We have to relocate the entire City Beach Marina, and we'd have to spend several million dollars on hard surfacing and relocation of that boat launch. The failure of the 2022 local option tax to fund that effort meant there was no funding for the relocation of a boat launch to the location of the RV park. But the RV park grant that we were awarded in 2025 did provide funding for a renovation of the existing RV park in its current location. Later in 2025, City Council asked the Planning and Parks Department, which I run, to pause that effort and do a little more community outreach. So you may recall, I came on the show back in December. We held a community workshop in December. We did another survey that had over 1,000 responses, and we asked the community, what do you want in this location? Do you want us to improve the existing RV park, or do you want us to do something else there? 82% of respondents to that 1,000-person survey said, we want to see the RV park renovated in its current location. This was all in conjunction with the Averill Hospitality Group asking for some other things to be done there. You may recall that whole story back in December and January. But on February 4th of this year, council said conclusively, Director Welker, we'd like you to continue with the RV park renovation project. We had $950,000 of state money pending with a $50,000 match. So the concepts you're looking at right now, Chris, and that are available on the survey that's public right now at sandpointidaho.gov/citybeach.
Yeah, make a note of that. sandpointidaho.gov/citybeach.
Actually, I recommend you put the www in front of that because sometimes it doesn't work without us. So www.sandpointidaho.gov/citybeach. We'll take you to a survey, and you can view high-resolution images of two concepts that our design team and our volunteer Parks and Recreation Commission have developed. So this is something that's been going on for a couple of months now. We have a local engineering firm, local staff. This is fantastic to have a local firm overseeing this project. These are people whose kids swim at City Beach and who do sports at City Beach. And they've developed two concepts. There are several guiding principles that you can read about in the survey. One to point out is the separation of boat traffic and vehicle traffic. This is a safety issue. This is going to make us more competitive for other state grants, which I plan to apply for this coming winter with the concept that we ultimately move forward with. And the plan right now is to bring the community feedback we get from this survey and from our engagement with the public at this Saturday's farmer's market to the July 1st council meeting and get direction from city council on which concept they'd like us to advance to final design. These are both very preliminary concepts right now. By October, we want to have 100% engineered design for the RV park renovation because we're going to do it this winter. We have $1 million burning a hole in our pocket, and we want to get local contractors out there to renovate this RV park and create something really nice and beautiful that's going to hopefully generate lots of revenue for the city and also provide an affordable place for visitors to Sandpoint to come stay. We do not have funding lined up at this time for the parking lot component of this and the boat launch component of this. But going back to the mayor's comment about boat launch fees, with the addition of boat launch fees, we are going to reapply for a grant that I was denied 2 years ago, which is called the State of Idaho Waterways Improvement Fund. 2 years ago, we asked for $700,000 to improve maneuverability for vehicles accessing the boat launch and to improve the boat launch itself, which hasn't been improved since the 1960s. We're going to reapply this year. We're going to take these beautiful concepts that we've adopted or that we've developed with our local engineering partners and our Parks and Rec Commission and City Council and feedback from the public this January. We're going to take that back to the state of Idaho and say, look, now we have a concept. Now we have a funding source. We're charging boat launch fees. Will you please help us fund this boat launch improvement? We want to ask for another, $600,000 or $700,000 from the state. I'm optimistic this time because we have boat launch fees, because we have a refined concept. And then we'll match that with some local dollars, possibly from parking revenue. Mm-hmm. That this parking facility is expected to make $200,000 to $300,000 per summer in tourist parking revenue. Mm-hmm. So that'll help us fund a beautiful improvement to the City Beach parking facility.
Yeah. So to put a bow on that, to wrap that up, if you're not following this, we're really excited that we can start to make some improvements to City Beach. That's going to be the parking lot layout, the boat launch, and the RV park. Join the conversation at City of Sandpoint's website. You can get all the information there and give you your feedback in the survey.
Yeah, sandpointidaho.gov/citybeach. If you can go directly to that page, it's a lot easier to find. Because I got to say, I was poking around on the website yesterday. I had trouble finding the link to the survey. It is there if you dig around. Mm-hmm. We don't want to spend too much more time on this, but real quick. So there's a bigger area in front of the boat launches dedicated to pulling in and backing mm-hmm. your boats back. That part of the, in either plan, the little circular turnaround that's there that mm-hmm. everybody uses for non-boat ramp stuff, mm-hmm. Access to the beach, that's going to go away under either of these plans. But I want to say that in the survey, so I got on to take the survey mm-hmm. and yesterday, and I like some things out of plan A and sure. some things out of plan B, but I didn't see a comment box to say I like this or that. When I got to the submit button, it was choose one or the other. So
yeah. And then there are several questions that allowed you to do narrative comments. So we have heard a lot of people say we like the roundabout in front of the snack shack from concept A, but we don't like the flow of RV traffic.
In concept That's A. exactly what so my comment
was. Neither of these are locked yeah. in stone. In fact, our design firm has already made some tweaks to the ones that are in the survey based on what the Parks and Rec Commission gave feedback on 2 weeks ago. And the most likely outcome is the council will adopt some hybrid of these two concepts and say, here's what we like from A, here's what we like from B. We want you to create a final concept, concept C, let's call it, that includes these components from both.
And the bottom line is you're going to create a lot more parking spaces.
That's one of the guidelines is we want to have more parking. Currently, we have 290 vehicle stalls. These two plans show 309 in concept A and 333 in concept B. So both significantly increase the number of vehicle parking stalls, mm-hmm. but also importantly, both double the amount of boat trailer parking stalls. Mm-hmm. And that's going to make us really appealing to that Waterways Improvement Fund, which takes boater registration fees and gives them to cities to improve their boat launch facilities.
And now you do use a little of the green space to accomplish this, it looks like.
Very good point. The green space does shrink because we are creating some 90-degree parking up by the snack shack where there's not currently 90-degree or there's not currently any parking. We do plan to preserve those large mature trees on the north side of the park and put parking in between the trees. It's really important to have trees in your parking areas. Mm-hmm. We're also planning to add 35 trees within the existing parking lot and add green space inside what is currently almost a 2-acre slab of asphalt. Mm-hmm. So that's really important to point out as well. The central green space decreases a little bit. We're also adding green space within the parking area itself, along with 35 trees.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're going to Sandpoint Farmer's Market Saturday, look for your guys there with the big maps on this thing, or go to sandpointidaho.gov/citybeach. And take the survey. The survey walks you through what all the ideas and changes are. Mm-hmm. So it's very informative as you get into the survey. You don't really need to look at your – you do have a page that has the drawings on it as well. So with the amount of time we have left, why don't we talk – while we're on City Beach real quick. Any word from Avril? What's happening with the old Jedgewater?
Yeah, it might have slipped by some people's news feeds, but just last week the – Avril's came back to the Planning and Zoning Commission for the third year now, and they requested another one-year extension to their conditional use permit for the hotel that was approved in May of 2024. So they're still working on lining up investors, looking for the capital that they need to break ground on that project. And they did ask for, and the Planning Commission did approve, a second one-year extension to that CUP. I will say that they've also floated some alternative concepts that do not involve a 181-room hotel, rather a renovation of the existing hotel. There's been no formal submittal or application for that, but we do expect possibly that they'll back down from the full teardown and complete build-out of a whole new six-story hotel and scale it back to more of a renovation with possibly the addition of some condos and new restaurant space and things like that. But we haven't seen a formal submission on that, and we'll see what happens in the next 6 months.
And that's a real challenge for us, Chris and Susie. Right now, if you're not aware, we have a 14% lodging tax that is super important to the city. With that hotel closed right now, we're missing out on about $150,000 this year in local option lodging tax. And that tax funds the spot bus. That tax funds 2 to 3 police and fire positions. So it's a huge, huge strain on our local budget right now. And, you know, it's going to be challenging. So we really want that hotel to open in its current form or in some kind of renovated form, because that is one of the few revenue sources that the city has outside of our property tax, mm-hmm. Which is limited to 3% growth per year.
Mm-hmm. I'll also point out another hot topic in the last year has been short-term rentals. One of the reasons there's so much demand for short-term rentals in Sandpoint is the lack of a nice hotel, let's be honest. The hotel at City Beach, if that were to reopen, or if we were to get a new hotel there with, you know, anywhere from 56 to 150 hotel rooms, conceivably that's 56 fewer or 150 fewer short-term rentals that people would demand in this town, if you consider hotel rooms a substitute for short-term rentals. So short-term rentals has been a hot topic this year. The city was forced to deregulate short-term rentals through state legislation. And we are concerned about the available housing in this town increasingly being used for short-term rental purposes. The addition or the reopening of a hotel at City Beach would relieve some of that pressure and hopefully take some of those houses that are currently being used as STRs, put them back onto the long-term rental market so local workers can have a place to live.
Yeah, that's the concern there. Okay, we're going to run out of time pretty quick. We got a big list of other stuff to talk about. Phase 3 of downtown revitalization has been delayed. We were expecting that to start this fall, but tell us what's going on there.
Sure. So Phase 3 goes from basically Bridge Street all the way south to Lake Street. So it's really a continuum of what you've seen on Cedar and the upper part of First Ave. It's a project that will replace the water lines, the sewer lines, the sidewalks. It will install benches, trees, curbside amenities, and improve the circulation. We had scheduled that to start construction this fall. It was an incredibly aggressive timeline. And as we've done soundings with our technical advisory group, some citizens and businesses that help us on the design, And those concepts have come to City Council. We've run into just some more in-depth discussions. For example, Pine and First. What should the turning radius of that curb by Hart Bowles look like, or where Ivano's used to be? For example, down at Lake and Superior, should we look at a roundabout and potentially extending that project further south? So because of those uncompleted decisions on what the design looks like, and in addition, we were recently just awarded about $2 million in federal grant money to contribute to this project. We're just kind of slowing down to make sure we get the design right. It's a super important project. So we're going to actually be working through the fine-grained details of the design this summer, this fall, and then kicking it off probably next fall. So we're going to take our time. It's an important project. We're going to make sure we do it right and have minimal disruption on our downtown and our businesses. But the expectation is next fall we'll be cutting a ribbon on the start of the project and getting that completed as much as we can outside the summertime period to prevent those disruption, probably completed in the spring of 2028.
Okay. Next topic, update on the wastewater treatment plant. Where we stand with that?
Yeah, so this is the largest public works project that I'm aware of in Bonner County's history outside of the byway. We, if you recall, we received voter approval for a $130 million bond, so we can spend up to $130 million on this plant. That is our engineer's estimate. At this point, we are working very closely with Idaho Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, on the specifics of the limits and the treatment process. And where we're going right now, we believe we have an opportunity to work with DEQ on their interpretation of the rules that would allow us to design a smaller plant. The real crux of the issue is we get a lot of rain on snow in February and March. That rain on snow ends up in our sewer lines. That means that on those days, we are treating 4 or 5 times as much wastewater as we typically would. It's very diluted. And because of that, our original design was for a plant that is basically 4 times larger than we need. So what we're looking at is through these discussions to work with DEQ to allow us to design a smaller plant. If that all goes well, we have a meeting with them next month, again, multiple meetings we've had, and it's going well. We'll be able to quickly redesign the plant to a smaller footprint and then begin the issuance of design and construction documents. It's my hope that that'll be going by the end of this year, and we could see some earth moving by next fall on some of the exterior portions, such as the administration building and things like that. But it is underway, and so grateful to the voters of Sandpoint for doing this. The downside is that we still have received zero federal dollars as grants. This is a real pain in my side or elsewhere in my body. And it's just so sad to me that in 1972, when the Clean Water Act was adopted, it established new regulations for discharge into the waters of the U.S. The federal government at that time paid about 85% of the cost for communities to build these plants to control this sewage. Here we are in 2026, and the federal government is offering us $0, no grants for this project. I've met with our state and congressional delegation. They say we're $39 trillion in debt. There's no money for communities, and the unfortunate reality of this is almost the entire cost of this plant is going to fall on the ratepayers of Sandpoint, Idaho. Despite the fact this is critical basic infrastructure communities need to grow, so the state of Idaho has given us $5 million in grants. Grateful for that. But we got to do more as a country and as a state to fund critical infrastructure for communities. But the project's moving forward, to answer your question, and this is my number one priority as mayor.
Okay, real quick on this one. So the pedestrian long bridge is closed due to safety concerns. It's getting very aged. ITD identified some issues with it that they think is a safety hazard. And that's used by a certain number of commuters. They bike into town, but also a lot of recreationists use that to get over on their bikes over to the south side there. Was there any dialogue with the city about this before they did that closure? And second, any idea on what the plan is to get it reopened, if there is a plan for that?
Yeah, first of all, and this is Jeremy Grimm, the mayor, you know, it's an iconic element of our community. I mean, to walk out there across the Long Bridge and look at the view and the span, it's essential that we get that bridge repaired. To your question about conversation, of course, this has been a known issue for many years from ITD, and the decision to close it was incredibly abrupt. They had done some cordoning off of some of the panels that were suspect, and then they basically, within an hour or two, they gave us a notice that they were going to close it. So it's a concern. We've reached out. We've had dialogue with them. It's a funding issue, as is everything else. And I'm not confident that they have a plan to reopen that at this point. They've alluded to, we're working on things. We're going to try to find some way to address this. But I am not confident at all that this is a priority for them. Of course, it's not in the city limits. It does connect to the city. It's very important. We have an interest in making sure that's opened and provides pedestrian connectivity and multimodal connectivity throughout the biking corridor and the region. But it's very unfortunate that a known issue has been basically brushed aside for maybe decades, and that there's no way to address it currently. So I encourage the public to reach out to ITD, to your district commissioners, to your state representatives, to ensure that we get some funding to get that pedestrian bridge repaired and open as soon as possible.
I think it's going to take a big lobbying effort from the public, for sure. Pressure on our legislators, whoever they end up being in January. The Idaho Transportation Board will meet in Coeur d'Alene on July 15th. That's an opportunity to weigh in. I think this will likely be on their agenda that day. As far as what the city's doing right now, we've got our public works team is participating in local conversations with the Bonner County Area Transportation Team today at their monthly meeting. And I think this will probably be a topic of discussion at that meeting today.
So you're recommending citizen action on this?
Absolutely. It's going to take a lot of citizen pressure.
You know, that is the most effective way. I can't tell you how many times I've heard legislators say, well, thanks, Mayor Grimm. Your voice is important. So are the elected officials. But what really moves the needle is when the public reaches out to the elected officials directly or shows up at a meeting. So democracy is a participatory sport, and you can't just sit back on your computer and throw darts on Facebook. You have to get out and come to a meeting and engage these folks. So in a positive way, but engage them. Let them know your passion for that Long Bridge.
Hey, we only got a couple minutes left. I'm going to squeeze in a couple recreation-oriented questions here. First, let's make note that the basketball courts are getting refurbished all around the city parks at Hickory Street, at Pine Street, at City Beach. And those projects are almost done.
Yeah, right? Thanks for bringing that up. Just to let people know, this is what park user fees go towards in the city. So this is not a taxpayer-funded project. We had about $110,000 budgeted this year for basketball court rehab. That's money generated from the RV park. That's money generated from the festival's use of War Memorial Field, of all the local sports teams using our sports fields, Morage at the City Beach and Windbag Marinas. This is parks paying for parks. It's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And this year, the Parks Commission said, let's fix up our old basketball courts. So we had the Pine Street courts completely resurfaced with fresh asphalt. We had all four courts, Hickory, two courts of Pine Street and City Beach Park, are being repainted right now. Two-tone plus white stripes, going to be beautiful.
New backboards.
And we have brand new glass backboards, NBA caliber hoops. These hoops are top of the line. They're what I always dreamed of playing on when I was a young kid growing up playing basketball in the Midwest. So, yeah, over $110,000 of rehabilitation to our basketball courts. And it's also joyful for me because my office looks out on the Pine Street courts, and I've got an inflated ball on my shelf in my office. And once that court gets painted here in the next couple of weeks, I'll be out there shooting hoops on my lunch break.
Okay.
one more recreation thing. We brought softball back this year. We have 13 adult softball teams playing two nights a week, four games per night over –
Travers,
how many, 18 weeks or something. It's a huge program, over 130 people involved. that's been a huge success too. And I really want to thank Ryan Wells, our recreation facilities and program supervisor, for overseeing the return, the relaunch of adult softball. And we plan to do the same thing with volleyball this winter.
Okay, I just got a note from a listener asking, is there going to be a kayak launch spot in the refurbishment of?
Great question. That's on the concept right down here. East of the current boat launches, we plan to have a dedicated area for non-motorized boat parking, mm-hmm. along with ADA spaces. Those will be the only vehicles that are, permitted to enter that whole part of the park. And we do plan to incorporate better access for non-motorized boat launches down there east of the existing boat launches. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, and 1 minute left.
I got two critical things we gotta talk about. First of all, we've got the city budget that was just dropped. I brought a balanced budget to the city council last Wednesday. On July 1st, they're going to be working through the details of that. The council is the legislative branch. They get to adopt the budget, and the executive branch, the mayor, gets to implement it. So follow that along. If you like numbers and want to understand what we're going through, check out the city budget. It's all on our website, or show up next Wednesday at our workshop on the budget. The second one is this fall, there's a survey out there about a local option tax for potentially roads. Mm-hmm. We all know our roads are terrible, and that's just a recognition that we don't have the funding to fix them. So get on the city website, try to take that survey about a local option sales tax. I'm hopeful that in August, the council will approve that for 1% of sales. And that will be, based on feedback on the survey, that may just be dedicated to roads, which would be basically the only thing we can do to get out of this hole we're in, where our roads are literally falling into the clay. So keep your eyes out for that. I'm hopeful voters can educate themselves and understand how important a local option sales tax would be for us to fix our roads.
And that survey is available at sandpointidaho.gov/LOT.
Okay.
What an interesting discussion. I wondered if we'd fill up the hour, and we have. It's time to go. And we hope everyone has a great day. If you want to hear a rebroadcast at 2 p.m. today, or you can go on our website and get a podcast of this interview this morning. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you so much.
Mayor Grimm and Jason Welker.
Thanks for having us.
Programming. Thank you. Have a great day. We'll be back next week.
And thanks for listening.